Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thank you so much for being with us. My name is Pimelo Modena. This is Point of View. Lots coming up on the show, but it's really going to be one of those special shows. So just after 8:30, we'll have a full panel, and we're discussing The Suit. If you have not seen it yet, please get yourself a ticket. It's at the Mandela Square in Sandton at the Theatre on the Square. The play's on for the next 2 weeks, I believe. And we will have the actor, the director. We will have a Kentemba scholar. We will have another writer who's responded to the play, The Suit. Well, initially it was actually a short story. Then it was made into a play. And, you know, so much has happened around this play. Lots of conversations that are going to be had here in studio with us for an entire hour. It's going to be The Suit special. Please join in 086-00-00959. You can also send in those voice notes on 063-688-0959. But we start here. You remember that last week we had the mayor of Tshwane, and she was giving us her plan for the next 100 days. Now we've had time with the mayor of Johannesburg. He's had his time in the city for some time now. His 100 days have come and gone. He's also joining us today just to give us a sense of how things are going. Mayor Dada Morero, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome. Good evening and welcome, Mayor. I think you're muted. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pimelo, and good evening to your listeners also.
We really appreciate you making time for us, Mayor. You've had time to settle down. How are things going from your perspective?
So far, things are going well. There are challenges there and there, but we are focused on the priorities that we have committed ourselves to.
Mm-hmm. Let's start a little bit, Mayor, with what you... I know we spoke about those priorities when you were here last. But essentially right now, I wonder what are your... Are you able to hear us, Mayor?
I can hear you very well. I was just wondering if you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. We'll go through some of them as they've come through to us by our listeners. Let's talk a little bit about billing. Billing seems to be a new issue at the moment. I know the city has always had issues with its billing, but the prepaid customers seem to be having some trouble with their billing and how they're being charged and not being, What we are also hearing is that some of them who have paid in advance are experiencing some problems with the city.
Well, I might not have full details of the actual challenges in relation to prepaid, but we have a bit of queries as it relates to billings or bills.
Yes.
And what we do, Pimelo, we do accept that at times you'd find that your meter was not read and you are then billed, or at times you find that you have been overbilled.
Yes.
So depending on their readings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why at times we say customers should always check their readings and can double check with what we have and be able to contest and log a query. So there are challenges in relation to that. But our task, therefore, is to ensure that once there are queries, we have the capacity to resolve them and resolve them urgently and quickly. So we do accept that those errors will happen. In most cases, it's a human error that would happen in terms of the inputting on the information into the system.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have done is to say customers should come forward, log a query. We do send people out to check whether the meter is faulty or there are leaks. If we suspect there are leaks, we do say to the customer that it's important to check internally in your yard if there are leaks or there are no leaks, especially as it relates to water leaks. And in terms of electricity, those who are on conventional, if they're overbilled, we do ask them to come forward. At times you find you are billed, but your bill is a bit higher from what you were used to, and it could be as a result of the tariffs, and you could have been probably not aware on how the step-up tariffs would have affected you. So generally, that environment, we try as much as we can to keep the queries as low as possible. We're running an account, just over 1.2 accounts, and we try to ensure that they're all seamless. So yes, we do have challenges where customers were overbuilt and were able to reverse and adjust their accounts. So we do have those instances.
I accept that, and I think that's quite a plausible way to deal with it. Let's talk a little bit about some of the queries we've had with regards to prepaid. We are hearing customers say that they would pay, you know, quite ahead, maybe, you know, sort of buying units for, I don't know, the next 2 months or so. And then they find that when they sit with a lot of units, or let's call them unused units, they then face problems. They are cut off. And I thought that was quite bizarre. Are you aware of that? We've sent our query to City Power. We have not yet received a response yet. The DA has been making lots of noise around it. But are you aware of those issues?
No, Pimela, I'm really not so aware that we can cut off prepaid customers.
Mm.
But if that instance would have happened, I would be gladly to get more information from yourselves based on the customers that came forward.
All right.
So that we can attend to, I mean, prepaid can be cut off.
Yes.
Probably they have challenges in terms of the tariffs, but cut off doesn't really make sense. You have instances where maybe the customer on the system might have been logged as conventional,
mm-hmm.
But in two sense, the customer is actually prepaid. On a prepaid.
Mm.
And as a result of that, the customer then is cut off, which does not make sense.
Yeah.
We've got those instances and we try to resolve them as quickly as we can. But at times you find that even ourselves, our internal staff do not really respond with the agency that is required to customers and their care.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the message that we try to put across to our staff that, look, we are here to serve communities. So if the meter is faulty, go and resolve it. If the meter says on the system is prepaid, but the customer says I've been cut off, go and sort it out. Don't want to argue. And we have those instances where even our staff take too long to go out and resolve those queries when they shouldn't, because we do have sufficient capacity as far as home bodies are concerned to deal with meters and resolving such problems. But if there's any specific cases, if you can forward, then I'll be able to ask the CEO and the team to resolve them and attend to them urgently.
Mr. Mayor, we've been warned quite a few times by Rand Water, as well as the city, about the issues of water, as well as the province, actually. The Premier has also made some utterances there. Are we going to be facing water shedding?
At this stage, we can say no, but we can also say it is a possibility. We should not rule it out. And we have to be frank and open that to customers that, in fact, our water challenge is quite big. We are already consuming beyond what Rand Water is apportioning to Johannesburg.
Mm.
We're supposed to be consuming just around 1,300. We are sitting at about 1,700, which you could see. The gap is too huge. It means there's a lot of water that you're consuming as a municipality. Part of those water, of course, goes into unaccounted water or non-revenue water as a result of illegal connections and leaks in our infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And we have declared that in the next week we'll be visiting certain areas to enforce. We've been doing cutoffs, especially with illegal connections and also those that might have bypassed our water meters. So we are dealing with those areas to try and bring about discipline, especially to the prepaid meter customers. We are dealing with dim consumption areas, which is your townships in the main, wherein they are on a flat rate, because that's where we're experiencing huge problems also of water being used and not being managed properly, where they will still water their garden, they will wash their cars without being conscious of the fact that we are experiencing water challenges in Johannesburg. But what we have also done is to try and at the same time try and improve on the infrastructure. And we are starting to deal with reservoirs to try and ensure at least that we can store water and be able to provide water. So we have started with one project, which I think we'll be completing it and handing over in April. We are looking also at another 11 reservoirs, which we think will conclude them towards the end of 2025, beginning of 2026. It also includes your Jabulani Reservoir and all other areas to ensure that there's constant provision of water. But we are also saying, even if we can do these interventions as the city, the fact remains that if our consumption remains where it is, we are in trouble as a city. So it requires our communities also to conserve water and use water as sparingly as possible so that we can avert going into stage two, where basically we will be declaring harsher restrictions on our people, and we'll also be increasing your tariffs if the behavior does not change. So we are requesting and asking of our residents to really use water sparingly.
Mr. Mayor, Kabelo Komanda, who is a former mayor of the city of Johannesburg and currently a councillor, is on special leave, as we all know, being charged with fraud. Action SA says they're going to be submitting a motion of no confidence. Are you going to support that?
No, there's no need for a motion of no confidence. We were supposed to finalize and make an announcement on Friday. Mm. Unfortunately, it was delayed because of certain dependencies that we had to do. So by tomorrow, we're having our final discussion on the matter, and we'll then make an official announcement. He's currently, of course, on special leave, pending certain advices from our legal department, which has been consulting since last week. But we are satisfied that we'll be concluding the matter by tomorrow. We should have concluded on Friday. Unfortunately, two meetings that we had required were unable to sit. They should be able to sit by tomorrow, and then we'll make a formal announcement as to what happens with Councillor Komanda.
So we should expect this by Wednesday?
We should, at least the latest. Can we just to put the buffer and say by Thursday we'll make a final announcement?
All right. Mr. Mayor, I'm sure you have seen the roads. We are getting lots of calls here already asking me to ask you what of the state of Johannesburg roads. We also got a report, as you know, that the bridges are not safe and secure in the city of Johannesburg. We were told that there really isn't much money to help with some of this infrastructure. What's the plan going forward? What is possible within the near future?
Well, we have accepted that we have just over 900 bridges, which are not in a structurally good situation, which requires us to give them attention. Mm. So by last year already, in our financial year 2024-2025, we took cognizance of that, and we started prioritizing just the 26 that we thought were in real situation and requires intervention. And in 2025-2026, again, we put some money to focus on those bridges which are in dire condition. Reality is that we also require resources that we do not have. We're constantly trying to raise capital to be able to attend to some of the bridges. You know that our revenue has shrunk as we relied mostly on the electricity and water revenue surpluses, which have now shrunk. But we are trying to do with what we have and prioritize as we move along. Yes, we have challenges of the roads. Some of them require complete resurfacing, and that's the attitude that we have taken to resurface. So we'll have to see into our 2025-2026 budget how much are we able to put aside once more in terms of road resurfacing. You are aware that, you may be aware that even in the 2024-2025 budget, there are roads that we're able to resurface, and we continue to deal with resurfacing where we can, depending on the amounts that we have. But over and above, we've also been dealing with gravel roads to build roads, especially in the townships of Orange Farm and the townships of Bram Fisher and the townships of Ivory Park. And the intention is also, whilst maintaining and resurfacing in the affluent areas, we also have to strike a balance and also deal with areas like Ivory Park, which I think we are doing a few roads in Ivory Park, we're doing a few roads in Orange Farm, and of course in Deep Slot. So those are some of the things that we try to strike a balance in as far as the construction and resurfacing of roads.
And the traffic lights, I know that, you know, some of the budgets come from the same sort of department, the traffic lights themselves, and we know the challenges. You know, sometimes you have teams come out and fix them, and then the next day again, you have the cycle of this vandalism. What's the plan with regards to securing some of these? Because I thought at some point we were going to, you know, do a new system so that we minimize on the vandalism. Is that still underway?
Yeah, the new system we're trying to do is really to address the copper, because what they're interested in is the copper.
Yeah.
So over some time now, we've been replacing the thick copper with a very thin copper, which thin copper then is not needed in the syndicate market because it is of no value. But unfortunately, it's going to take a bit of time for vandals to realize that majority of robots are now, we've been able to change the copper, because they continue to break them until they realize that the copper is no longer thick. So there's no more value in the traffic lights, crime economy. So that's one part that we're trying to do. The second part is calling on the private sector. There's some discussions we are putting together with the private sector, so that the private sector can also help us to manage some of the traffic lights on the basis that we want to transform them into solar traffic lights. So there's a new program we're trying to implement, and we're engaging robustly. We think by the time we pass the budget in May, we have made agreements with the private sector on that.
Is our problem only copper theft, or even the contractors that come out and actually fix those traffic lights themselves have something to benefit every time you call them out? You know, is it only one element that's problematic here?
There are instances, Pimelo, where the security department at City Power have been in some instances arrested even our own contract that we've appointed with copper and all sorts of things, and they've processed them through the law enforcement agencies and the courts. And in fact, our security department at City Power has been doing quite very well. The team there has been very aggressive in dealing with crime in the form of stealing of copper. But remember, criminals also find a way of always being two steps ahead. Mm-hmm. We try our level best to reduce, but they also come with very heavy artillery, which at times you find that our security guards on site do not have the capacity to deal with such artillery. Make a simple example, in our waste treatment plant, we've been battling for some time. Just around El Dorado Park, we've got a water treatment plant, a sewer treatment plant, and we've been battling with criminals who come with AK-47s and wanting to access the pipes and other infrastructure, which has put us in difficulties in that water treatment plant, which from time to time it collapses, because some parts have been stolen. So those are the challenges that we have. And of course, with heavy artillery, it means you have to respond with heavy artillery. So we are also trying to look at an option of talking to the Minister of Defense and see where we are able to get assistance from them, just on the few of our water treatment plant. The rest of the infrastructure, electricity infrastructure, power stations and so on, we think that with our program of, we have what we call armed response from private security company, it has helped us a lot to reduce vandalism and stealing of copper and or equipments inside of the power station. But we're also making a call to some of the people who sometimes wants to use the power stations to as places to sleep in, the homeless people in particular, that would really want to make a call to them that anyone who enters the power station should be qualified and trained people. We have had one incident not so long ago of somebody who was able to gain access and sleeping there for a few days. And unfortunately, the electricity, the current catched up with that person. So we want to appeal also to homeless people to stay away and stop trying to open the power stations, because they could be very fatal.
Mr. Mayor, we've been watching, unfortunately, the death of these many, many children. And we now have, over the weekend, another child who's passed on in Alexandra after having consumed what they believe are contaminated chips. We obviously don't know the causal link yet, because investigations are underway. But you know, it feels a little bit like the residents are under siege and we don't really know, you know, who to turn to. Your response to what can the city do? And I know this doesn't sit with you as a city, it's got to be a multi-pronged approach. But what's your approach to this as a city, and what kind of assistance are you getting from the province and from national?
Well, thanks. I think you know that there's been efforts between ourselves and the provincial government immediately after the Dinaledi incident, which requires a different approach. So what we have done in the city, we had a meeting last week with development planning, that our first part is to deal with compliance. In simple terms, majority of the sponsor stop don't even comply in terms of from a building, from the building point of view, which then requires that we implement our building controls. So we are going into Soweto and Ivory Park at least on the second week of December, depending how fast the legal matter can be resolved, so that we ensure that legally we are not found wanting once we implement the compliance. So we will be going, and those that do not comply will then be shut down. That's one part, but it's not going to resolve the issue that children still consume, because they can still buy from those that do not comply. But the fact of the matter is we need to deal with compliance. Secondly, we met with our environment department to deal with the issues of rats in the township, that there's a need for a serious intervention to deal with rats, and the team is now trying to work out the best possible ways. You know that in the past we tried owls, and unfortunately, because of some beliefs in our communities,
people were not having owls in Alex. I remember that very well.
We're trying to find a way to convince communities that the owls are one effective, and they would help us to deal with this thing. Secondly, we're trying to ensure that we deal with dumping sites. We have then agreed with Pick It Up that we are going to turn dumping sites into either fruit gardens, vegetable gardens, so that we can plow and make use of that land and kill and end illegal dumping in our townships, but it also requires engagements. So these programs were agreed to last week, and we are going to then start in the second week to start implementing. Pick It Up is in the forefront to help us clean. And once we clean, we want to ensure that the dumping site is turned into something. We believe if we turn them into vegetable gardens, working with communities, it can help us a lot. By reducing the rats in the townships, we are likely to reduce the need for pesticides in the townships so that people don't have to be using pesticides, which end up in the food, and then the children get affected. But also, we want to talk to the owners themselves in terms of the environment and cleanliness within the Aspaza shop to ensure that they are clean at all times. We're just concerned that in Soweto, for example, last year it happened the very same month of October in the same area or the same VD, Naledi Ward 20, and it happens again this year in October Ward 20, the same area. So it remains a point of concern, and hence we are saying let's try these interventions and see if these interventions will yield results. But we're also calling on our parents and communities to really, really try and look at what children consume or go and buy and try and direct them not to buy in places that could be suspected of not being clean. So those are some of the awarenesses that we think our counselors will be helping us through community meetings in the second week of December. So it's a program that we have adopted and we think it will yield results. But it's very sad for families that might have lost their children as a result of consuming whatever it's said to have been consumed.
Mr. May, let me just understand this. The responsibility of looking at bylaws still sits with the city. Am I correct?
Yes, the bylaws remain with us, and yeah, we are enforcing the bylaws. That is why I said to you, we'll be dealing with the issue of non-compliance, yes, in terms of building control.
Yes.
So that deal with the spaza shops that don't conform. Yes, it's going to, we're expecting resistance from the property owners who have rented out their spaces to spaza shop operators. So it might then have, we're expecting that, but we are ready to engage with the property owners.
Let me just perhaps end it here because there's a lot of noise in the background there, Mayor, and perhaps it's good to have you in studio next time. Just to finally ask you a question from X, Smoo is asking about Bree Street, saying, you know, what's the progress there? There's been a bit of a back and forth between yourselves and the province. We were also told that there are now issues with the tender itself. Could you give us an update?
No, it's straightforward. Fortunately, Pimola, we can say now with authority, they call it package work package one will be completed in June. That's the commitment we are making, which is the actual portion wherein the explosion happened. And the second work package two will probably be completed between August and September, which is the road. So what we're doing, the entire Bree Street into a complete street program. So by June, you'd have the first one where the explosion has happened, which means now we'll have access to use the road. Of course, the contractor is under serious deadlines and timelines to push until June. Of course, we have given a leeway to at least the last week of July if there are any delays, noting rain and all other delays that may be there. We want them to complete so that by August, we actually hand over and say the road has been completed. And then package two, work package two will be completed around September. And we think by then the whole street will look quite nice and beautiful. And we have a work package three. Work package three is basically focusing on greening the road, bringing trees, bringing street furniture and all sorts of things. So that's the work package three, which will then come towards the at the end of work package two. So that one would give it another 3 months after September to 4 months, and we'll then have the complete project.
I'm going to leave it here, and really thank you so much for making time for us. We will make time where you know, at least you are in studio, Mayor. But thank you very, very much for making time for us this evening, and all the best.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.